glad you guys are here today. Are you guys glad to be here?
Amen.
Well, we're going to be glad. I hope you're already glad. Anyone doesn't know who I am? Anyone had never seen me before? Dan, you've seen me. All right, let me see. I'll just give you a quick testimony. Any good that I've done in life, it's because of God and His grace. In John 9:25, the blind man who was healed, the Pharisees were grilling him about him, and he said, "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." My testimony is simple. Any good thing I've done, it's because of the Lord. Anything that's done that's been my own fault or believed the lie of the devil, God's never done one bad thing to me. I won't believe anything different. I've decided several years ago that I was just going to, if nothing else, I was just going to believe God's good. I don't blame Him for every bad thing that happens to me. I think somehow the devil got through. I acted in ignorance. I acted in willful disobedience, but it's never God. I keep that as an anchor for my soul, no matter what happens. I've been in the hospital, went through condemnation on my own activities to put me there. It was a gallbladder. I was sick for a while. But you know one thing the Lord brought me out of that is I never gave up. I knew it wasn't Him. I knew that He was there to help me. He's been there every day of my life to help me. You and I are all here. I share this all the time in class. Just the fact that we're here is the grace of God. Because every day of your life, we have an enemy that is trying to destroy you and I. I mean, how many of you can think of times in your life where just a little turn here and you'd have been all over? You know, there were thousands of times that you don't know about that God saved you. A little turn, you're going on vacation. A little thing where you slow down here, you stop here, traffic came by. Well, that's the Lord. You know, the thing about the Lord is He doesn't go advertising it. He doesn't need me to know every time. But you know, I know this. Someday when we're before Him, you're going to see all the good things God brought on your life. And I tell you what, if you and I just get this, put this in our heart, never say a bad thing about God ever again. Because I know you'll not be ashamed there. You know, I want to be there when I go before the Lord. And He said, "You know what, Wes, you've made some mistakes." I have, still am. But You never once turned on me. You never once spoke ill of God. You know He's an easy target. He doesn't always speak out to defend Himself. But someday, I guarantee you, there's not going to be a dry eye. No one is going to be standing before the Lord indignant and said, you did wrong, you weren't fair. We serve a just, fair, good God. Amen? We give the Lord a hand. Sum up my life, there's a theologian in the 70s that sang country and western music named John Conley, saying, "I'm a common man, I drive a common van, my dog ain't got a pedigree, that's me." You know, nothing special about the world, but good news, because the Word said God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the foolish things to shame the wise, lowly things to shame this. So, you know, God can work in me. He can work in anyone. Amen? All right. You guys want victory in your life? How many of you want victory? All right. We're going to look out here, and we're going to look at the finish line, and then we're going to get to the finish line. You guys want to do that first? All right. Go to Romans chapter 8. These aren't in my notes upstairs. I've just got a new Bible, so my pages may stick together, but I think it's going to say the same thing. I'm hoping. One thing I look at the Word of God, the Lord's showed me about the Word's food. Yes, Jeremiah 15:16 says, "When your words came, I ate them. They're my joy and my heart's delight." Job 23:12 said, "I've not departed from the commands of His lips. I've treasured the words of your mouth more than my daily bread." When Jesus was tempted in the desert, what was the first thing He said? "Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." So as food, how many of you like certain foods? I remember a buddy of mine years ago went to some conference, a believers conference, and his brother asked what they taught on, and I can't remember the subject, it's unimportant, but his brother said, so nothing new. And I remember what he told him, his brother, he said, you know what, I had bacon this morning. I like bacon. I'll have bacon again. You know, there's not a single word when it comes up you should ever think, you know, I already know this.
Come on.
It's food. Just like bacon, pizza, steak, potatoes, it's got it all. Dessert, this word, and every time you're coming before the buffet table of the Lord. What I see it is, I went to the grocery store, which is the Word of God, and I put nothing but verses. And I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to put it together in a way that's good food. Not just food we want, but food we need. Amen? You guys believe with me today? Romans chapter 8. How about, we'll go 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, that's a good word right there, isn't it? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Say it, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither present nor future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate you from the love of God?
Nothing.
Nothing. Say it, I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm more than a conqueror.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus
Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor, Lord, is not in vain. What do we have in the Lord? Victory. Say it, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Hey, God made you a winner. I'm going to tell you, you'll see this as it unfolds tonight. Never let these words come out of your mouth, even in jest. I'm a loser. You're speaking against the word of God. He made you victorious. The victory is through him. He died, he lived a sinless life, chose to die for you and I, carried the burden of our sin, kicked the devil's rear so that you and I could win. We have no right to call ourselves losers because we are victorious in him. Amen? You need one more witness? Let's just go 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma and the knowledge of him. The NIV, the one I have, says, the one I memorized that says, he always leads us in triumphal procession. When we win, it's because he's leading us. When you and I, why we should be listening to the Holy Spirit, because we as children of God are led by the Spirit of God, why should we be listening to him? Because we're always going to win. So I just... because I know the word, I know that if I'm losing in an area, if I'm getting beat, I need to be listening better. Because he's always, I kind of take our class through the Greek, and what does always mean?
Always.
You know, it doesn't say most of the time. He's always leading us in victory. Amen? Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Well, that's pitiful. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For always
leading me
to victory. Now that's the word. Amen? All right, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 12. Paul writing to Timothy here, and he tells him, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses and in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. This is the title of my lesson. The lesson today is fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Yes, there is victory, but there's not a single victory that's worth anything that doesn't come without a fight.
That's right, brother. Come on.
Your marriage, to have a good marriage, doesn't come without a fight. Not a fight with your partner. Our struggle's not against flesh and blood. Don't be going home and telling your husband or wife I said that you needed to fight. No, we're not fighting each other. But there is a fight. You know, I was raised, I've changed my thinking on this. This is how I heard things. I'm not saying that's how they meant things. I grew up believing what I call just the sovereign God theology, and he is sovereign. But I'll tell you this, God hadn't always had control over everything in my life. You know, I went to jail for a couple days. What got me there had nothing to do with God. Now, his plan is coming together, and he wants us to be a part of it. But in that, it's kind of a no-fault religion, that anything bad happened, it was God. And however things turned out, it was God. And it was like we didn't have an enemy. It wasn't until I started realizing John 10:10 was in there and the Lord started giving me revelation that we have a thief. Now think of it. What does a thief do? Steals. A thief takes something that is not theirs and he's out there. Our fight is against the enemy. And against flesh, which falls under the enemy. He knows flesh. He's dealt in it ever since his rebellion. Our fight is with the enemy, and our fight is not with each other.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have you noticed when things get burdened, and you start really struggling? Have you noticed our first, at least mine, I won't put it on you, my first inclination is to start taking it out on people around me. Anybody else ever do that? Well, we need more revelation on our struggles not against flesh and blood. And we need to fight. There's a fight. And the reason we are losing is we're not fighting. We're not. Howard Jones is a great man of God in my class. We were talking about this. We're not contending in the faith, fighting, not just for our own life, but fighting for our family members. We give up too easily. The enemy wants to take hope from us. He wants us to give up. But here Paul's telling Timothy through the Holy Spirit, he's saying, fight the good fight of faith. You and I need to have that warrior spirit within us of never give up. Always, tomorrow's a new day. Lamentations wants to tell his mercies renew every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day, you had a bad day today? Hey, good news. You can go to sleep tonight, wake up tomorrow. It's a new day. You got fresh new mercy right in there to face the day. Amen? I'm going to talk to you about fighting this good fight of faith, just kind of what the Lord has shown me. And one of the things we need to realize is Satan was an angel. Right? You guys know this? He rebelled against God, and it just wasn't him rebelling. He took one third of the angels. Revelation 12:4 talks about this, took one third of the angels with him. Well, just to help you with your math, three thirds minus one third equals what?
Two thirds.
So if one third rebelled, what does that leave the amount with us? Two thirds. So not only is, if God is for us, who can be against us? Hey, we got more angels for us than against us. I'm going to give you something to think about. It's a good thought. You ever thought, you know, population I think was about 1 billion, I think in the 50s, somewhere around there. It's not enough for you to email me about being nitty, but it was 1 billion. We're around 7 billion now. You ever thought how much of a problem this causes the enemy? You know, in the creation, he told them be fruitful and multiply. The kind of problem that people increasing would cause the enemy. Angels aren't multiplying. They ain't growing. So the more people there are, he's got to put his troops, spread them out even more. Which is why, over the last 20 years, he's worked harder in movies, education, media. Why? Because you can take these and influence large groups of people with the fewest amount. You know, Harvard, Yale, they were all, Harvard was started by Jonathan Edwards. But you know what the church did? They quit fighting the good fight of faith. They let the enemy have the education system. You know, we can't do anything about the past, but we can sure do something about today and about the future. Amen? You tell the enemy no more? No more? Go to Hebrews chapter 2. I want to talk about the ministry of angels because we do have two-thirds of the angels with us. Hebrews, actually chapter 1. Verse 14, bless you. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? What's the purpose of angels? One of the purposes of angels, just from the word,
service
to who?
Us.
You know, when Brother Ron came two or three weeks ago, you remember the first thing he came when he, at least on the first service, said he saw angels up there during the worship. There's angels all around us. They are. They're here to help us. God sent angels to help you and I. I'll give you a couple of witnesses. We go to Psalm 34. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your angel of the Lord encamping around us. Amen. Go to Psalm 91. We'll start verse 9. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and I do say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Four, now what's four do? Four connects the promise, right? The way we have a condition, if you make the Most High your refuge, your dwelling, no harm, that's a promise, no harm. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They'll lift you up in their hands so that you'll not strike your foot against the stone. You'll tread upon the lion and the cobra. You'll trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I'll rescue him. I'll protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hey, if you've never heard that, this is a good one to put in your heart, to memorize it. Every trip we take, this is the what we pray. You'll command, just thank you, Lord. You command your angels concern us to guard us in all of our ways. That's what we prayed over Jan and John before they went on their trip. The angels of the Lord are around us to protect us and to help us as heirs of salvation. And you can see this throughout the Word. Brother Gary had brought up 2 Kings chapter 6 when the king of Aram was really pretty irritated. He was incensed that the God was telling Elisha about where the armies were, and they knew how to strategize and where to put them. And he thought they had a spy in his ranks. So he said, how's this happening? And they said, well, it's Elisha. The Lord's telling him. And so they went to surround Elisha, and his servant said, hey, woke up one day, and he looked and saw these armies all around. And Elisha, he said, what are we going to do? And Elisha's prayed and said, hey, open his eyes just so he can see that there's more with us than with them. And when the servant opened his eyes, he saw all the angels of the Lord surrounding them. In any situation, whatever money situation you have, there's more with you than with the flesh, than what you see. It's the angels of the Lord. You want an Old Testament witness? In Acts chapter 12, remember when Peter was in prison and they're praying for him? Who came to open the lock? It was an angel. Angels, God sends angels to help us. All right? Does that give you comfort? And they're not these little, we need to renew our mind. They're not these little squishy angels who's playing harps with wings. Hey, there's warrior ones. Hey, you never saw someone that actually saw an angel that just didn't get on their knees because they're big. They're powerful. They're almost as powerful as Phil. Big angels, right? Because then they do battle. Now, what we need to do is, what we need to learn is, how can we get angels to fight for us? What do we have to do? I mean, if we're losing, there's got to be something in our life that we should be doing to get us into the victory God has for us. You guys want to know, or should we just, you guys could go home and sleep, or we could get to the end and we can get some victory. You guys, can you guys take a little more? All right, go to Psalm 103. Another great one to memorize. All of it's just awesome. But if you ever had a job and they give you a packet with your benefit package, Psalm 103 is our benefit package as believers. And God likes us to know what we have in him. Amen? Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Can you go back? I'm not sure what the ESV has for verse 20. Yes. I had memorized this out of the NIV, and it says, which is true. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. And part of it was I wasn't seeing it correctly. And it wasn't until I started reading some other versions that I was thinking that, which I knew would be right, that angels do what the Lord says. Which is true. There's nothing, you know, if the Lord says go here, they go. But then it was when I looked in the NASB and it had it like that. Bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Angels obey the voice of the word of God. I want you guys to just, I'm going to say it again. I want you to just open your hearts. Angels obey the voice of the Lord, voice of his word. Angels obey the voice of his word. Go to Daniel chapter 10. Actually, I think it's Daniel chapter 12. It's 12:10. It's actually, I was right the first time, 10. Daniel, where do I want to start? Well, you guys can handle this. Let's start verse 2. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, nor meat or wine touch my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. He was fasting. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, looking up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around the waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. Hey, was this angel just some little cutesy one playing a harp? No, that's one bad-looking dude. Well, I mean, bad is good. It's cool, dude. So, verse 8, so I was left alone, gazing at this great vision, and I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I've now been sent to you. And he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. That's talking about spiritual warfare. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Okay, when did the angel, just from the word of God, when was he dispatched to the case? First day, your words were heard when you set your heart, when the heart and our words are combined and we pray the word of the God, that's the day angels are dispatched. But he didn't come for 24 days. He didn't come for 3 weeks. Why? We have an enemy. There's battles up here we don't see. That's why you and I must contend in the faith, must fight in the faith. There's a spiritual stronghold out there while we keep praying. Once the Lord lays something on our heart, we don't give up after it happens. Just one time, what do? We keep going. We keep speaking the word, getting more, receive more revelation. Have faith rise up. Speak that faith. Keep speaking it. Keep speaking. How long? Until the victory. The word can't fail.
That's right.
You know, when God said, let there be light, lights never stopped. When we say be healed, if you don't see the result, keep it right here. Keep the fight. We remember Jan, we prayed Jan was having tendonitis in her wrist and prayed for her, said, is it any better? No. So I went back, prayed. She goes, it's a little. Then I brought Larry up. Larry came up, prayed. It's a little better. Then I called Lisa Smith, who's with the kids. And she came. And after Lisa, better. What happened if we just gave up? Well, I guess that wasn't God's will. No, keep fighting. Keep believing. There's not a single person that's ever really believed and held on to the Lord that's ever been ashamed. Ever. Amen? This is a good word. I'm going to give you more witnesses. I want you to see it. I want you to know that you know this just wasn't something I made up with a few. You guys want to hear a few more? Are you guys ready? All right, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Well, I'm excited. Verse 11, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, it didn't say the partial armor. You know, the enemy's coming at you and I in a bunch of different directions. You know, there may be some teaching that you're not particularly fond of. You may have a weakness in finances where church asking for money, I'm tired of believing God. It may be healing. Let me tell you what, wherever you don't decide to put on the armor, the enemy will attack that weakness over and over and over again. Hey, why do you think there's people that you know, and then there's each of us, there's areas that we've continually will get some victory and then we'll fall back, we'll get some victory. I'm thinking of things in my own life right now. And the reason why, I don't like to feed that part. I'm not going the full armor. And what the enemy does is he wants to get to you, he'll take that one thing and he'll go, choo, choo, no armor. Whew. That was worth the price of admission right there. Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know, the devil needs schemes. You know why? He's not strong enough to do anything to you without tricking you. It is deception. You know, I've told this, I want just briefly. You know, I grew up thinking Eve was the bad guy in Genesis till the Lord gave me revelation. And it said Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. That the real villain there was Adam, who committed high treason against God, and Eve was tricked. Bonus. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is, the enemy is well organized. How many of you ever watched stuff on the, sometimes I watch Gangland on Spike. You know, a lot of those things, mafia, those gangs are highly organized. Highly, you know, the enemy's ranks are highly organized. There's people there, that he's got demons out there assigned, knowing just, it's been watching you. just know, try to where your weaknesses are. But that's our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's our struggle. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish most of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Oh, was that? What was that? All the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Brother Gary talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know what word that is for word? What Greek word? It's rhema. You know, there used to be Bibles called the sword of the Spirit. Rhema means spoken word. The truth is, the Bible's not a sword unless it's spoken. Rhema means spoken word. When we, you and I, speak the word, that's when it becomes a weapon. Why does the enemy want you and I to shut up about the word? Why does he fight us about confessing the word? Well, because it's easy to fight someone with no weapon. It is. But when we put this to work, it becomes a weapon. All right? Can I give you more witnesses? I want you to know that you know. You guys want more witnesses? I mean, we can call it, but I got two more. All right. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1. See, Jesus led by the Spirit into the desert, be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter, that's the devil, came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. Jesus answered, leave me alone, Satan. Why are you bothering me? God, why is you, Satan, bothering me? No, hey, Jesus is my hero. He's your hero, right? We do what Jesus did. What'd Jesus say? It is written. You know, Jesus didn't say, do you know who I am? No, he spoke the word. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he'll command his angels concerning you, and they'll lift you up their hands so that you'll not strike your foot against the stone. What do we find out about the devil here? He knows the word. He knows what it says. Misuses it. But what did Jesus say? It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kings of the world in their splendor. All this I'll give you, he said, if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So what did Jesus do when faced with the enemy? He spoke the word. Don't miss verse 11. What happened afterwards? Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. And you know, when devil left, we know this from James, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. He didn't just cockily go. He scattered. See, this word becomes a sword. I like movies like Braveheart, Gladiator, The Kingdom. And one thing in sword fights, when you get to the end, and you could see this as Jesus, you know, he's striking blows with the sword. But right when they cut the enemy's head off, and maybe guys are the only ones that enjoy it, but the final one, and this is when he said, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is when he goes the double. But Jesus didn't do it on his own. He did it with the word of God. Then angels came and attended him. Angels are God's messengers to see. God's looking over his word to perform it. Each word he has a purpose for. Angels, and we're not going to turn there just because of time, but in Galatians, the third chapter, I think it's the 19th verse, it talks about the law was put in effect through angels by a mediator. Angels are the ones who God uses to put the word into effect. He's looking to see that his word is performed. The Holy Spirit's within us to help us, to give us the verses. But it's the angels who do the battle. They're ministers to the heir of salvation. I'll give you one more. Can you handle one more? And then we've got to go. Joshua chapter 1. Some of you have fear. Some of you are scared for the battle to come. We got some words for you. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 7, don't hear this as me talking to you. Here it is, the Lord talking to you today. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. I'm going to give you something on this. God didn't expect you to know a word you don't yet know. He expects you and I to walk in the revelation that we have right now.
Yes, sir.
This is good. You know, children, says obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. What does he expect children to do? Obey the whole law? Obey all the word? No. Honor your mother and father. And in there is a protection from the enemy. Verse 8. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. That word meditate means mutter. Mutter. So when you're going through things, instead of saying, I don't know how we're going to pay this bill. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm such a loser. I always mess up. You and I ought to be doing that talk. Mutter is muttering the word of God. God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth give way. Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Thank you, Lord, for giving Jesus for me. Thank you for giving me everything for life and godliness. Any word you know. If you know one verse, you say that verse over and over. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Our words are so important. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only was helpful for building others up according to their needs, so they may benefit those who listen. Listen, let me give you this one thing the Lord gave me. When I had this revelation, I never heard it. And I was so excited, and I was thankful of the Lord. And I was thinking, just in a moment of time, I thought, we have good, evil, black, white, up, down. We always have, we have God, we have the enemy. So if angels work on our behalf when we speak the word of God, I asked the Lord, what if I talk against the word of God? And in a moment of time, I saw it, that if one is true, that if he'll command his angels concern us when we speak the voice of the Lord, that when we utter the words of the enemy, then demons gives them access into our lives. I'm telling you this word, value it. It's our life. Learn it, not just learn it here. Surround yourself with it. Memorize it. Speak it. Anytime you go and you speak contrary, where you say something to someone, say something to yourself, instantly repent. Because this word says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Keep these accounts small. Not just with Him because He's mad at you. No, it's for yourself. If your hearts do not condemn you, you have confidence before God. The Word of God. Amen? Value the Word. Speak it. Pray it. Don't let any word come out. Let's be careful with our words. Honor them. Amen? I'll tell you what, that's all I have. I hope someone got something out of it. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand. Let me close with some prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for your angels that you send on our behalf, Father. And I pray that we'd not be merely hearers of the word, but doers, and start speaking whatever verses we know. Start speaking in our prayer life. Father, I pray right now for revelation of verses to whatever that burden was that we carried in here. I pray for verses to speak, Father, and a confidence inside that your faith would rise up within us and we would continue to speak the word till we see the results. We thank you that your word cannot fail. It is perfect, flawless, Father. And I pray that as our hearts agree with it, and as we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, Father, I pray we'd be saved, not just for eternity, but saved right here, right now. In the name of Jesus, everyone said?
Amen.
All right, if you have kids, you can help your...